the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Tuesday morning. We're so glad you're tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damien Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm saluting with you, too. I gotta come up with my own.
Yeah, you got a
little signal there. Yeah.
Good morning.
Hand motions, yes.
Good morning, y'all.
I'm Italian. Everything is moving with my hands.
That's right. I got a duck every now and then.
Well, good morning is right, and of course, today is the day of Blessed James Aldo, and not sure if you heard much of him, but you will when we get to our Saint of the Day segment a little later on this morning. But we always begin with prayer, so let's do that. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed James, pray for us that we will find the straight path to heaven and remain loyal to Jesus' teachings throughout our life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was
amen.
In the beginning.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Sorry, it's just automatic for me.
Oh.
It's conditioning. Yeah. I was ready to finish that prayer.
Oh. I'm with you. I'm with you. Maybe we could have. It could have been a tandem.
It's sort of like every time I hear a bell, I kneel. So, I mean, it's just I'm conditioned. Sorry about that.
That is okay. No, that is okay. Oh, my goodness. Like Damien said, our saint of the day is Blessed James Aldo. We will learn more about him later on in today's show, but we are starting off with events in our listening area we will give you details about. That is coming up in 8 minutes. In 18 minutes, we have Debbie Shelley joins us. She is the assistant editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official Catholic newspaper of the Diocese of Baton Rouge. Debbie will update us on what you'll find in this week's issue. And in 35 minutes, Rhonda Grenewald joins us. She's a founder of Vocation Ministry, and she is going to be talking about Uplift Your Priest campaign. So I'm looking forward to learning a little bit more about this campaign. I've heard briefly about it, but we all know some priest that we love. Maybe it's our parishioner or in our parish, and he's our pastor, and ways that we can uplift our priests and maybe brighten their day a little bit more. So we're going to be talking about that with Rhonda. And in 48 minutes, Dr. Jay Richards joins us. He is a spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press, and we're going to be talking about the book called God's Grandeur. So it's going to be a good show today.
Yes.
And looking forward, Damien, to your weather report. I don't know about you. We were out in the yard again yesterday, and I was loving it. It was great.
Nice, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was fantastic.
So great.
Yeah, and it's going to be that way again today. Another bright, nice, sunshiny day. High 77, low is going to be about 59. Winds pretty much out of the south southeast, so it won't really be chilly by any stretch, 5 to 10 miles an hour. No rain to speak of, and actually the same holds true for tomorrow and Thursday, with the high around the mid 80s, and winds are going to pick up a little bit to about 10 to 15 miles an hour. Then on Friday, that's really when we'll see our next chance of rain. 75% to be exact. But the weekend looks great. So once the rain clears out, the weekend's going to be real nice with temperatures pretty much in the 70s. So it's going to be good for the folks who want to get out. A lot of festivals taking place. Mm-hmm. So check your calendars for that and get out there and enjoy it. This is what this type of time of year is all about. Temperatures in and around the area right now. Cool spot, Mandeville, 48 degrees. It's 51 in Gulfport. Over in Houma Thibodaux, 53. New Orleans, it's 60. And in Baton Rouge, 10 degrees less. It's 50 degrees at Baton Rouge right now. So those are your temps as well as your forecast. Stick around. We have some events coming your way. But first, when we get back, Father Chris Decker will share the gospel with us on Wake Up.
Good Tuesday morning. I'm Father Chris Decker, and today's gospel is taken from John chapter 3. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can this happen?" Jesus answered and said to him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you do not understand this? Amen, amen, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but you people do not accept our testimony. If I tell you about earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Today's gospel continues Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. In order to convey the subtlety of Jesus' meaning, John uses the Greek word pneuma, which can mean either wind or spirit. Well, what then is Jesus' point? Just as the wind eludes human control, so does the Holy Spirit. Everyone born again from above in baptism grows in the new divine life to the degree that they experience and surrender to the free and gracious work of the Holy Spirit mysteriously operating within them. Earlier, Nicodemus used the plural we to refer to himself and his companions. Now Jesus employs the plural we to refer to himself and the Father. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. Because Jesus came down from heaven as the Word made flesh, he can speak authoritatively of the Father and the heavenly realities of which ordinary things like natural birth are models and figures. Then Jesus uses a biblical figure to explain how he will reveal the Father and bring about eternal healing. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. The verb lifted up, hiposo, has a twofold meaning. It can mean lift up in a literal sense, as when Jesus was physically lifted up from the ground on the cross. However, it can also mean lifted up in the sense of exalted. Jesus, of course, will be lifted up in both meanings. He will be lifted up ignominiously from the ground on the cross, while at the same time, he will be simultaneously exalted beyond measure, as he preeminently reveals God's love and brings about our redemption. Then he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The crucifixion shows us the ultimate effect of human sin and the amazing, incomprehensible God has for sinners. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers, and also Father Chris Decker for reading the gospel to us this morning. And by the way, Jimmy received an award over the weekend, I believe you were sharing with me.
No, it was actually my son.
Oh, David it Jr. was your son?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah.
I'll clue you in on the next break. I'll show you a better picture, apparently.
We're going back and forth. But so what award did Dave Jr.?
Son of St. Ben Award. I'm so proud of him. Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's the 2023 Son of St. Ben Award.
David Dawson Jr., who is with the Diocese of Home and Thibodaux.
Right.
He's a regular guest on our show. So congratulations. Want to give him a shout out. Also, I want to shout out to my sister Sharon and her friends. They watch us every morning on Catholic Life Television.
Hey.
So glad you are doing that as well. She gets to see me every day, whether she wants to or not.
Yeah, that's tough.
Okay.
Well, but, redemptive suffering.
Yeah, well, that happens.
Oh, no.
Let's talk about about events, though. The St. George Men's Golf Tournament, the Dragon Golf Classic, is coming up, and you're going to want to sign up for that if you live in the Baton Rouge area, and especially if you're a member of the St. George Church Parish. It's going to be a three-man scramble, not a four-man, but a three-man scramble. There's going to be plenty of food, a lot of fun. University Club is the place. It's going to be Monday, May 15th. Tee-off time is at 10 o'clock. It's a shotgun start, like most of them. And if you want to sign up, you can just go to the St. George website by going to stgeorgemensclub.com. I'll repeat that, stgeorgemensclub.com. $175 a person, $525 for a team. And there's going to be a lot of other things involved, but the Dragon Golf Classic coming up May 15th at University Club to help St. George Church Parish.
That sounds like fun. Well, this is also such a great event. In January of this year, 2023, the Cynical on the Lake in New Orleans began offering several Women of Manresa retreats where a Jesuit priest will offer the spiritual exercises for women at the Cynical on the Lake. These retreats are not hosted at Manresa, and they will follow the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the same schedule and format of the retreats offered for the men. It will be a silent retreat from Thursday evening until Sunday midday, and open to 56 women. Over 440 women from 14 states have registered for these retreats so far, and there are available retreats happening this December and June of next year, and more retreats are coming up fast. But to get a full schedule of these powerful retreats, you can go to neworleansretreats.com/womenofmanresa.
From what I hear about that, the December one may be selling out very, very soon, huh, Gabby? These things really are very popular, I hear.
Yeah. Yes, 6 months, and I think they were needed.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. That is a wonderful, wonderful thing. The Archdiocese of New Orleans, Office of Marriage and Family Life, and Springs in the Desert are partnering to offer Cherished, a retreat for those in the season of infertility. That's July 7th through 8th at St. Joseph's Abbey Retreat Center, St. Ben's. We were just talking about that. Wherever you are on the path of infertility, the Marriage and Family Life Office invites you to join the Springs in the Desert team as they reflect on the emotional, relational, and spiritual needs of the infertility experience and offer practical suggestions for strengthening your relationship with your God and spouse.
All right. If you want to find out more about events in and around our area, just go to ccmedia.live. In the meantime, Debbie Shelley, she's coming your way. She's editor of the Catholic Commentator, and we're going to talk about what's going on in the Diocese of Baton Rouge here on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 18th. Today we celebrate Blessed James Oldo. You've heard of rags-to-riches stories. Today we celebrate the reverse. James of Oldo was born in 1364 into a well-to-do family near Milan. He married a woman who, like him, appreciated the comforts that had come with wealth. But an outbreak of plague drove James, his wife, and their three children out of their home and into the countryside. Despite those precautions, two of his daughters died from the plague. James determined to use whatever time he had left to build up treasures in heaven and to build God's realm on earth. He and his wife became secular Franciscans. James gave up his old lifestyle and did penance for his sins. He cared for a sick priest who taught him Latin. Upon the death of his wife, James himself became a priest. His house was transformed into a chapel where small groups of people, many of them fellow secular Franciscans, came for prayer and support. James focused on caring for the sick and for prisoners of war. He died in 1404 after contracting a disease from one of his patients and was beatified in 1933. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good morning again, everyone. Happy Tuesday to you. It is April 18th. We're already past the midway point in this month. Rolling right along. Going to be a beautiful day. Get out and enjoy it. Damian Collado along with Gabby Smith and David Dawson, and now our regular guest, Debbie Shelley, assistant editor of the Catholic Commentator in the Diocese of Baton Rouge, here to give us some sneak peeks of what you'll find in this month's issue. And Debbie, welcome to Wake Up.
Good morning, and happy Easter season.
Oh, happy Easter season to you.
Indeed.
Yes. Well, first of all, we have a story of Waters of Life, and it's about the family of Robbie and Crystal White. They entered the church at the Easter Vigil Mass, and the background of them entering the church was actually a medically distressing situation. They have two children, Aubrey, 9, who has autism, and Amelia, 2. And when Amelia was being in the womb, doctors detected that there were some problems. So Crystal was encouraged to deliver Amelia early. And when she was born, doctors noticed that she was having trouble breathing and problems with her liver. So they did some medical tests at Baton Rouge General. And she was in the intensive care unit for infants. And So the nurse there, who happened to be Catholic and a member of St. John the Evangelist, mentioned, "Would you like me to have my priest," which was Father Jerry Martin from St. John the Evangelist in Prairieville, do an emergency baptism, which he did. And she was given rosaries as well. "Would you like to pray the rosary?" "Absolutely." And then Amelia was transported to Women's Hospital, and there were masses celebrated with the intentions for Amelia, and they watched them online. So there's,
oh wow,
in the mess of this distressing situation, there were many, you know, lead-ins to the Catholic faith, and they were looking at possibly a liver transplant. There was a complicated surgery at Women's Hospital. They opened Amelia up and did another dye injection. Wow. But it turned out for the good. They eventually found out that Amelia had Gilbert syndrome, which she would outgrow.
Oh, so, there you go.
This, yes, this drew the family with all these Catholic connections, and it just drew them to want to enter the church, and so they did. And in a beautiful mass on March 10th, the wives, Robbie and Crystal, had their marriage blessed by Father Jerry Martin, and then they walked over to the baptismal font and baptized Aubrey, and then there was a chance to celebrate Amelia's baptism, and it was a beautiful celebration of family and friends. And then the Whites came in at the Easter Vigil Mass, and
wow.
Crystal said during the RCIA process that they learned about the church's unity, and they had already experienced this through their, you know, connection with St. John the Evangelist. And she said, "We couldn't imagine being part of a different community because we want to be there for others the way they were there for us." So it was just
wow! What a miracle story. That's awesome. and a conversion. How is Amelia and Aubrey doing at this point?
Oh, they're doing just beautiful.
Great.
They were delightful and helping. Mm-hmm. Thriving, other than, you know, the autism issues, but they're doing few, and they're together, and that was the idea. They wanted to all be Catholic as a family.
Nice. And what a great story. And of course, Easter, a lot of people were indeed brought back, either back into the church or into the church for the first time in our diocese, right?
Oh, yes. It was a beautiful week, of course, beginning with Palm Sunday, the celebration of Jesus entry into Jerusalem. And then the Chrism Mass was just a gorgeous celebration. And representatives from the church, the churches, the priests coming in from the diocese. And Bishop Duca did a wonderful homily that encapsulated the week. And in that homily, he was talking about a giving over, how Jesus gave himself over to the Father, to Judas, Pontius Pilate, and eventually to the people who, you know, would crucify him. And all these disappointments down to the disciples who deserted him, and the disciples on the road to Emmaus, you know, disappointed that they would, we hoped he would be the one. And yet the bishop pointed out that Jesus gave himself up fully empowered, and you know, and he did this out of love. Mm-hmm. You know, he conquered through love. And so he pointed out that he pointed out how the different liturgies showed that throughout the week that we'd be going through.
Yep.
And so he said, we are called in the same way to do that very thing. And so that was just the blessing of the oils. The priests renewed their vows. And from there, we went to the beautiful celebrations, Holy Thursday, Friday. Now, Good Friday, there was some inclement weather, which moved the a lot of the good long Fridays indoors. But such as St. Joseph Cathedral, Catholic Charities continued their annual celebration and was very reverential and did like they always do. Remember the marginalized, you know, those in need of social justice, and it was did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And they continued to the Easter Vigil Mass.
The rain did not postpone the way of the cross, that's for sure. And mm-hmm. so, and
it did
now,
not stop that. Mm-hmm.
There's also an interview with Father Michael Alello, who, if people remember a few years back, St. Louis King of France Church Parish merged with St. Thomas More, and that merging has created an interesting development at St. Thomas More, mm-hmm. correct?
Oh, yes. As he told us, that, you know, the merging of parishes can be challenging both for those coming in, you know, a wary glance, will they be accepted, and the people accepting them in, how is this going to change the dynamics of our worship and everything? So Father Lello, as you remember, was also former pastor at St. Louis King of France.
That's right.
So in looking for ways to honor St. Louis King of France, he took advantage when they did the major renovations, and he brought in various art pieces. You've got the St. Louis statue in the garden there. And they're beautiful Stations of the Cross, which were created by Frank Hyden, are there in the
nice.
The parish office there. And he said one of the biggest pieces was what to do with the resurrected Christ statue. That was one of the keystone art pieces at St. Louis King of France. So when he did the renovations, he put it at the rear of the church. So when people come in, they see the crucifix, and then when they leave the church, they see the resurrected Christ as a beacon of hope.
Nice.
You know, and blessing.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear. Before we wrap up, I want to touch on Catholic High School and St. Joseph Academy students are reaching out to students at St. Lillian Academy. A lot of people aren't familiar with St. Lillian Academy. Share with us the story and the background with all that.
Okay, well, St. Lillian Academy helps students with disabilities have maximum experiences and broaden their horizons. And short story short, Jackson Whitlow, a Catholic high school student, had an older brother with autism. And so through different experiences, he got connected with St. Lillian. And it was so positive that he worked with Scott LaSavio, who is campus ministry director there, the Catholic High, and they created My Brother's Keeper. And through that, there was just beautiful bonds created through the students over there, and St. Joseph Academy students have joined them as well. So they came on a March morning, March 14th, and it was just a beautiful witness to see. They recognized them by name, you know, and one of the mothers says, everyone deserves a chance you know, to be recognized. And she said these students show their heart. She said that's what impressed her.
Yeah.
The Catholic high school.
Well, great. So, well, you'll find these stories and a whole lot more, right, Debbie? And this issue of the Catholic Commentator. Where do they go to get more information?
They can pick them up at the back of their church parishes and participating merchants, and we're also online.
Very good. DIOBR.org is the place. Yes. Debbie, Shelley, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Okay. And that's Debbie Shelley. She is assistant editor of the Catholic Commentator, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Baton
Rouge. Some good stories.
I don't know if there's an unofficial newspaper of the Diocese
of
Baton Rouge.
No, that's pretty official.
Yeah, that's about as good as it gets. Yeah. Great story. Michael Alello, Father Michael, is doing some great things at St. Thomas More. And that merging of those two parishes, you know, at first it was a little uneasy, but he's done a great job of bringing the two together.
Absolutely.
That's right. Nice. So, all right, folks, we're just getting started. It's 30 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning on Wake Up. We're tuning your heart to the truth, and that is the truth on Wake Up.
Let's try this again. 35 past the hour. Catholic Community Radio, you are tuning your heart to the truth. We are trying to locate our next guest. Sometimes this happens because this is live radio, Damien.
That's what it is. But the topic is one that we can
certainly talk about. Yeah.
And it's about vocations and uplifting your priest campaign that's going to be taking place.
This is good timing, by the way, that she came up with this. This is Rhonda Grunewald. She's the founder of Vocation Ministry, and we may be getting in touch with her shortly. But meanwhile, this is something that you and I both noticed, too. These guys work hard.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
no doubt about it,
well,
especially this past week.
Yeah.
Week and a half, actually,
and
right?
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, that they understand their mission.
Oh, my
goodness,
yeah.
They're willing to do it.
I know. Think about all the times that they put forth and sacrifice themselves just to be in that confessional. And a lot of people have been going to confessional right before Holy Week and during Holy Week as well. And then you have Holy Week and you have all those mass schedules throughout the Holy Week. And then you have...
Well, Dave, also, we have so many priests who are pastors of these big parishes and they are alone. They're the only ones at their parish, or they're at a parish that is very active. They are stretched thin. And I didn't know that at one point in time there were four or five priests at one parish at one time, which now is like, oh my gosh, you know, when you think about that and you think about now that it's just one priest, I think they're definitely needed to be uplifted and kind of given these ideas that Rhonda can give to us or that we can talk about during this campaign.
Well, the Sarah Club has been doing that for years, decades of a campaign to support your priest and do something special. And it's good to see a lay minister of sorts put a campaign together as
well. Isn't that nice?
And, you know, a grassroots effort if need be. But the point is, there are a lot of things that we can do to share with our priests to let them know how much they're appreciated.
And this is a good time of year to do it because right now they're experiencing a lull. Thank goodness, you know, they have to breathe because of all this schedule that they had going on, you know. And by the way, Gabby, you are right. You're talking about how life used to be. There used to be a lot of associate pastors.
Oh, yeah.
Damien, you remember
that. Well, that's where deacons come in now.
Well, there you go. But the rectories are...
Sure.
They're larger, but they're empty. there's just like one person in the rectory a lot of times.
And because of the shortage of priests, they're having to service other church parishes as well as the one that their primary responsibility. So what are some of the ideas, Dave, that one can do? Maybe we could that with the audience, and maybe they can reach out to their local priests and help them out.
One is really easy to do, and this is something that I like doing occasionally too, especially on their feast day. Call or text your priest. I wish them a happy feast day, you know, or just wish them a happy Easter, just to know that there's people out there. They're not just using you for Easter and Holy Week and then we're done with you. No, communicate with the priest. They really need to hear from you, right?
Yeah.
And then a spiritual bouquet. you can send a spiritual bouquet. I love that too. I you know,
yeah.
I've been on the recipient end of that, and that just means a great deal to me. That's knowing I'm being prayed for.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I know a lot of people like to still invite their parish priest over for dinner or take them.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that, though. You could take them to lunch. You can have a cup of coffee. I happen to have a priest friend that will smoke a stogie every now
there
and
you
then
go.
Just to chill out. And I know we appreciate the conversations, and it doesn't always have to be spiritual conversations. That's the other thing I want to share.
No, you're absolutely
right. You know, they're
right.
real people, too, mm-hmm. and they've got lives, yeah. and it's good just to talk about things, whatever those topics may be.
These guys need an ear. Too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
And it's just good to have conversation, but listen instead of saying, Father, let me tell you how good I am. You know, just talk and listen right. to them. Listen to them and ask them about their lives because they've got a lot to share. They've got a lot that they do. One of the other suggestions says, drop off popcorn and snacks for movie night. That's interesting. Okay. I like that. Send him drawings or paintings by children. Now, I know that works. I know that works because my grandkids That's will sweet. Do that for some priests in their area.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and the priests, they love that. They love that. And they're really close to our grandkids, and they love visiting with them. So I think that is I think that's special. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the most important things we can do, though, is she has on her list here is to pray, fast, and offer sacrifices for him. Well, but that's huge. You can't do any more than that. I mean, then you follow up with a spiritual bouquet showing them we have been praying and offering sacrifices for you. But
there you go.
I mean, if you're fasting for somebody, that's pretty special. You know, that's pretty neat.
Well, and a gift card. That's not hard to do.
No.
Find out what their favorite restaurant is, or maybe your favorite restaurant for that matter, and drop off a gift card as a thank you.
Mm-hmm. No, you
know? Yes.
They like to eat,
right.
trust me. And, and not all of them are like Father Cedric, who can cook at the spur of a moment.
Right, right.
You remember had Father Cedric on last week?
That's right. No, I know quite a few priests who like to cook, so maybe we'll just bring them the ingredients.
Oh, you could bring them the ingredients.
Invite ourselves over with a bottle of wine and just have a good time.
Here's a couple of T-bones. Father, let's go.
Monsignor Nalty? Yeah, I'm calling you.
That's what I was thinking of.
So, one of them here is another idea is to make a family video message or song of affirmation for him. We better do the video message. I don't think he would go for the song from my family.
Especially coming from me.
Yeah, whoo.
Y'all know I like to make up songs.
Of course, they would be thoroughly entertained. And,
it would be different.
It would definitely be different lyrics coming from you. But a video,
easy to do today.
We do this for our relatives. We do this for our friends. Yeah. You know, and these people are very, very important in our lives. Okay, I have one here that I think is fascinating. Create a sidewalk message in front of the church or rectory. What do you think about that?
That one I don't like.
Not a good idea.
I would ask for permission.
Yes, otherwise it's vandalism, right?
Yeah, you know, you don't know what that could turn into. No.
Well, I have one that's not on the list, and maybe it's to volunteer at a parish. And I know that a lot of people, a lot of priests especially, love the altar society because they clean the linens on the altar. They put the flowers out for Easter or Christmas. They decorate the church, and it just looks beautiful, and they're all volunteers.
Yes.
And I don't know. There's a lot of work that goes into parishes. I think that more volunteers could be helpful, but we have to make a point of saying that you can post your photos on Uplifting Your Priest during the campaign, which is actually this week, and use the hashtag #UpliftYourPriest or #VocationMinistry. So you can use those too.
That would be really cool, especially this week to post that up. Let's see. We said drop off or have dinner delivered. We said that already. You said gift cards.
Yes.
Or, and you said bring it. So
yes.
T-bone steaks.
Okay. All right.
You're gonna drop it off. Make it count.
I thought you were gonna say pasta or something Italian.
Well, that wouldn't hurt either.
No.
Make a good lasagna.
Absolutely. These guys eat. I've taken a few out to dinner before, and it's like,
they
wow.
They work up an appetite.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Now, another one is post a picture of your family with your priest. That is also a good idea, and we have done that before, too. Mm-hmm. I've actually taken a picture a lot of times just to add the confusion on Facebook, because I'm standing next to Father David Dawson of the Baton Rouge Diocese, and yep, a lot of folks say, hey, great to see you and your son. It's like, oh, okay, I give up. So, anyway... Then send financial support to the parish if able. Ooh, Damien, that's huge.
That's an always given.
Yes,
that isn't just a once a year. Here we appreciate you.
Right,
we need to do that ongoing.
We need to constantly be doing that. That's right. Tithing, hold a parade of love for him. Hmm. Gabby, Damien, what is? I'm sorry.
That's you get a bunch of cars and you get a group of people and then they create a parade.
That's what I would think.
And you make signs and you wave and you blow the horn and
what a great idea! What we used to do during the COVID when people had birthdays and such, right?
Similar to that, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Except for it's not COVID, so it's all the more special. We don't have to do it now. We just can do it. A parade of love. What a great idea! I guess just make sure the parish or the rectory can handle the traffic before you.
One other thing just came to mind.
All right.
If you own a condo or a vacation home, hey, let them go stay at the vacation home for two or three days. For a long weekend. Now, their weekends are usually Monday through Wednesday, but the point is, give them 3 days of a little condo on the beach or somewhere in the mountains, wherever your vacation home may be.
So let's keep these guys in mind. Above all, let's pray and fast for these guys. That's the most important thing we can do. But then after that, let's support them in all these different ways.
Amen.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth on Wake Up This Morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damien Collado and David Dawson, and our next guest is Dr. Jay Richards. He's a spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press, and today he's talking about the book called God's Grandeur. Dr. Jay, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, it's great to be with you. Thanks so much.
Take us through the book, Dr. Jay. This is quite an interesting one because we're diving into the thinkers, the science and religion and all of those topics that get us thinking.
Yeah, it is. And so it's called God's Grandeur, the Catholic Case for Intelligent Design. And a lot of the authors in the book are actually affiliated with the Discovery Institute in Seattle, as I am, which is often considered the institutional home of intelligent design. But it's essentially a book specifically for Catholics, written by Catholics, for all of the amazing evidence from the natural sciences for intelligent design in the universe. And it responds both to kind of atheists who deny that, but also some Catholic critics who, for various reasons, don't really like these arguments for intelligent design. And so we thought, look, there needs to be a book that lays out the philosophical, the theological, and the scientific sides to this debate, and that's what this book does, and it's been in the works for years, and so I'm really glad that it's finally been published.
Well, and take us through this, because you also explain, but the people who are have written this book also explain the what the church really thinks about evolution, and that's such a common topic that we often think about today, whether we are believers or non-believers. Mm-hmm. What does the church really teach about evolution?
Well, here's the key problem is the word evolution means so many different things. So it might just mean change over time, that different organisms have changed over time and some are now alive and there were others that became extinct. There's this idea of common ancestry, that some or all organisms share a common ancestor. And then there's the specifically Darwinian idea that all this amazing adaptation, this appearance of design in the biological world is really just the result of natural selection acting on random genetic variations. And that's the really strong part of evolution, this idea of, you know, evolution. That's why you see Darwin fish, for instance, on cars. It's that idea that all of life and its amazing complexity is really the result of a blind process. So that's a large part of the book, is challenging that idea and say, yes, okay, of course, Catholics can affirm change over time. We can speculate and talk about evidence for things sharing a common ancestor. So we can talk about some of the things that natural selection really can explain. But look, you can't be both a Catholic and also think all of life is the result of a blind process. And unfortunately, there's some Catholic scientists that want to do that. They want to just sort of baptize Darwinism in its fullness. And the church certainly doesn't teach that. And the evidence doesn't lead us to think that. If you actually look at the evidence for natural selection, it turns out it can explain really minor things like antibiotic resistance with bacteria and thickness of finch beaks under selective pressure. It can't explain the mammalian eye or the heart or the human mind or any of these things. And that's what's so exciting, is that the testimony of Revelation and the church and the testimony from nature, if looked at objectively, actually confirm this idea that, look, the world exists for a purpose.
Yes, and we can definitely see that outside whenever we, I mean, always think there is a higher power, at least for me, and I think many listeners, I'm constantly thinking about that. But let's also dive into a term that we hear quite often, and that's the Big Bang Theory. So where does that play into creation and evolution?
Well, and it's another complicated subject, because the term Big Bang was actually coined by a critic, a guy named Fred Hoyle. And Hoyle wanted to believe that the universe had always existed. So then it's eternal. You don't have to explain where it came from. But in the early 20th century, we realized that, you know, the evidence is that the universe had a beginning. The universe is expanding in every direction. We now know there's this cosmic background radiation that's like the echo from the very beginning. And so for people that want to be materialists, we know the universe had a beginning. But then many Christians, including many Catholics, think that the idea of a Big Bang, it implies that the universe just sort of exploded into existence. And that's not the evidence at all. The evidence is that the universe, first of all, it has a finite age, so it had a beginning in the finite past, but can't always have existed. But also that the evidence is that things had to be very precisely fine-tuned, like the force of gravity and electromagnetism. These things had to be precisely fit in order to be able to be compatible with life and the existence of planets. And so, again, the evidence, whether you're looking at biology or you're looking at physics and cosmology, is one of design and purpose.
Well, and one of the things I know for me when I think about it, it's kind of mind-blowing. You know, when we think about our universe and the planets and galaxies, it's almost too much to think about because it's so vast. And that's, of course, when we're talking about going back into, you know, back to the moon and doing these missions up into space and orbits and seeing that, you can't help but think about that vastness. And, of course, how does that play into what we believe as Catholics? So, and, of course, thinking about how God created it and the higher power or whatever listeners are thinking about. I think this is a great book to dive into, of course. That's something that I think about quite often, the beauty and the vastness of our world and God's creation. So where can we pick up a copy of this book, God's Grandeur?
Actually, anywhere books are sold, your local Catholic bookstore, or you can just go online and buy it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com.
Thank you so much, Dr. J. Richard, spokesperson for Sophia Institute Press. Thank you for being with us today.
My pleasure.
So I was in Houston not too long ago with my parents, and we toured NASA Johnson Space Center, which I've been to maybe 50 times, but they're always updating it. And just their mission on, they had a whole pavilion on their mission on going back to the moon and how, you know, the collaboration with Tesla and all the, it's pretty cool, you know, going back into those missions. You can't help but think, wow, you know, we're exploring that part and that's God's creation. It's cool. So can't help but think about the vastness of our universe and just how tiny we compare to the rest of the world and what's out there, you know?
Damien and I were just talking about this while, you know, you can't help but talk about it because it's such a fascinating topic.
It is.
God's creation and who we are and how we came to be. You know, there's simple ways of looking at it. And then I think no matter how deep into the scientific theory you go, God is still there no matter what. That's
absolutely
the part that I think is so beautiful. And I hope, I was curious if Dr. Richard's book is understandable, because sometimes I can't get past like the third page and I'm like, yeah, well, okay. You know, I'm just curious about that. But there is a lot of wonderful, beautiful information out there, you know, on God's creation and how it came to be. So
definitely.
Yeah.
We'll definitely check that out. I posted the link in the comment section for today's Facebook Live video, so you can take a look at that. But it dives deeper into why Pope Benedict XVI cautioned that vague explanations about creation are insufficient. They talk about Old and New Testaments and God's creation and wonder and the beauty of the existence of God. So it really dives deeper into different things, different questions we may have. So nice. Definitely check that out.
Nice. Yeah. And you can always go to the catechism if you want to learn a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm doing that right now. Catechism right now. In a year.
Oh, you're doing the year thing. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, following that up from Bible in a year. It's wonderful.
How far along are you? Or should I not ask?
Day-wise, like 90.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, wow. All right.
I'm somewhere in that range. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. A little behind, but that's okay.
You're underway. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And we hope you had a great time listening to us this morning on Wake Up. And we always want to send you off with a prayer. So here we go. Lord, you know my needs better than I do. I turn to your Spirit to teach me what to ask for in this prayer. I want to fulfill your holy will over my life. I love you, Lord, and I place all my hope and trust in you. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Johnny Aber joins us with his gospel reflection. Brett Thoman talks about his book, Following Padre Pio. Tim O'Malley will talk about the Eucharist and so much more. Have a wonderful Tuesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.